Welcome back to a fresh episode of A Walk Back to Self-Love. Thank you for being here and supporting the podcast. Of course, I have my friend Zoe returning, and this time we're in a different space. We're in a healthier space. We've covered being inside a man's head. We've talked about trauma bonding and toxic love and what it's like to go through the healing process and date. But we have not really talked too much about the positive emotions of love and dating, and that's dating in a healed space. So I hope you catch some gems and you enjoy this episode with my friend Zoe.
Yo, what up?
Hey, how are you?
I'm blessed. How you doing?
Same. Enjoying life. Remembering it's my life. You know, it's been crazy. Do you ever have those moments where you're like, wait a minute, I got to remember that. Like, I used to dream about this, you know?
Now we live in it.
Yes. So I've been having those moments this week, like, get out of your head and look around, like, look at where you're at.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
Yeah. So thank you for joining me for another episode. Before we dive into it, want to say congratulations because Zoe launched his very own podcast. Yay. Congratulations. So what's it called? Talk about it. Promote it.
Best Shift, high level conversations. So we're going to be discussing business, love, and fitness.
That sounds amazing. I actually caught a couple episodes of it. Very much enjoyed the tips that you're giving out. So yeah, congratulations. That's amazing.
I have to thank you too, because you know, I've been on quite a few of your podcasts, and I've always been inspired and didn't have the courage to do it. I just always felt like someone like you with that natural radio voice, it was a no-brainer for you to do podcasting.
See, look at that. That's what friends are for, to help each other out. So definitely glad I could be of assistance. So today's episode, you know, I was thinking about it. I'm like, okay, well, we've talked about, you know, being inside a man's head. That I think that was our first episode we did together. And then we've talked about, you know, toxic love. We've talked about the healing process. We've talked about hoe phases. Like, we've talked about so much of the shadow side of sex and love that we haven't covered the positive, the happy emotions, you know, the healthy love, the healthy sex. You know what I mean? Where it's like, where you're in that really good space most of the time within, and how does that manifest with romantic relationships? So to kick things off, I found this quote and I thought this was perfect, and I resonated with this so deeply. It said, "Be the love you never received." And I thought, you know, that's why there's so many unhealthy relationships, because people are out there trying to love from a place that is unfamiliar what love is, because maybe most of the time all they had was a bad role model of love in a toxic space, not right from a healthy space. So
are you saying that you believe that they are trying to get that love from their partner?
Yeah. Gotcha. Or what they believe love is. And I say that like for myself over the years, since I started having crushes on boys and dating and, you know, going through that wave, it's always been what I thought it was, or how I should act, and not what I actually want and what's best for me.
Yeah, man. Oh, this is about to be a great topic today.
Yeah. I think so, because I think, you know, we both can weigh in on the toxic side, but also the healthy side. Correct? Would you agree with that?
I agree 100%. I think we both have both sides of experiences.
Yeah, but mine have been more on the toxic space up until recently. So, yeah. So it's a different. It's what I was inspired to do this episode about, because it's been on my mind of like, what does it feel like when you're dating from a place of emotional intelligence, emotional maturity, freedom? You know, you're not like trying to be obsessed with the person or what they're doing, and just focusing on you, you know, self goals, finding fulfillment outside of being around a person that you're trying to, you know, see where it goes or that you're dating or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
So it's new skin to be in. Because you shed, you shed the layers of yourself that were not, that didn't feel good when you were dating. Have you been in that space before where you just didn't feel good even though you were going through the motions?
Going through the motions. Yes. That's that toxic love. But we're not focusing on that tonight.
right. But I'm just saying as reflection to see your growth, you know?
Oh, yes. But I think a lot of people, Amber, this is just my thoughts. I don't feel like a lot of people actually take the time to heal after their past relationships that maybe were not healthy or good. Because I look at it, if you did not get married or go in for the long haul, the relationship was a fail. You agree? Disagree? Was it successful?
Yeah. I mean, I think if it didn't continue on and it fell apart.
For sure. So there's much to learn from your past partner. Oh my God, I got to interject real quick. I always had a fantasy, Amber, and I've had this with maybe two women, where it was like an exit interview.
That's
you laughing at? I'm serious as hell.
Guys, that's hilarious one. And yes.
But you get what I'm saying? Where it's like, because you guys are mature enough and respect each other enough and realizing that it just didn't work out for y'all. But
right.
When the emotions subside, you know, to you be able to have that conversation of like, what could the other person have done better? And don't get me wrong, you know, whatever that is, your next lover may not have issues with what you had in your previous relationship.
Very true. Very true. I like it. Yeah. That's something to reflect on. It also, too, is the things that, because this is where I think it's healthy to go and reflect on the negatives versus the positives if you have a positive to compare it to now. Does that make sense?
Yes, but that's so dangerous because, you know, a lot of people will compare that shit to the Disney fairy tale love life.
No, but what I mean is like when you've had men that were, or women, but I'm saying in my instance, insecure. So the things that they would say to me versus somebody that says it to you in like a flattering way, like admirable, you know, and you're like, wow, that's such a different energy because, you know, I've had other men that said that I was this, and this. So it's just interesting to hear when you're in a healthier space. Does that make sense?
Oh, you got to give an example for the people. You got to give an example. We're not using no names, but just like, like this guy said.
No, like, you know, okay, there's two sides of it. One, it's being around a man that's insecure and has a lot of toxicity within, and then pointing out all of your flaws that they could possibly find with you. Okay. Gotcha. Then being around somebody that like just looks at you like, oh, you know, and says these positive things, but having real talk and conversations like, oh, but I used to do these things. I used to be this type of reactive way. I used to, you know, and being authentic about it, like, oh, I just didn't wake up and like, here I am. Like, this has been work, like 10 years of internal self-love work. But to hear somebody focus on the positives and not the negatives.
Right. Yes, because they've done the work.
Right.
Man.
And to feel into that space of like, wow, he's healed. You know, like he's coming from a more mature, emotionally intelligent space as well. Mm-hmm. And not trying, so far, I mean, there's still a little like, trust that you have to like make sure you're good, like okay, there's no rush, keep it slow and keep it at a nice pace, but don't also believe that he's gonna fuck you over just because you aligned with previous partners or lovers that did.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I think people can get caught in like a trap with themselves.
Ooh, I like that. I agree with that 100%.
Because then that's how you can quickly set a relationship, you know, and burn it to the ground, because you're like, damn, you used all of your baggage or, you know, past experiences, and you just totally sabotaged that entire relationship.
Right.
And that's where people feel like that's the one that got away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. They wasn't ready. They didn't do the work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard something today when I was listening to something online, and it said, love is friendship set on fire. And I thought, that's so perfect because I love fire.
wait, time out. Love is friendships set on fire.
Friendship set on fire.
Yo, that's deep.
I know.
Wow. Huh. I never heard it like that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I heard that today and I'm like, wow, that makes me want to fall in love.
That works.
You know, like that's exactly, I think, what a true loving romantic relationship should feel like. Friendship that's set on fire.
No, I like that, because I'm a strong believer in that. You should be friends with your lover first.
Yeah.
You know, but I feel like we fall into lust and sex first. You know what I mean? It gets built off of that. That'd be the foundation. And then later throughout the process, y'all start getting to know each other.
Right. And that's, I think, where most of the fun is not necessarily with the sex. Mm-hmm. It's with the getting to know who that person is and learning about that person, what makes that person tick, and vice versa.
Yes.
And then the sex thing, I think, gets better because there's more of a connection, and then you have a deeper bond, and then it's just like that fear of vulnerability starts to dissipate, and you start to build more trust with each other. But I think you have to do that by being friends first, or top priority.
Yes. And I think people definitely need to know who they are before they enter these relationships.
Right.
You know, know what you want, man. Know what you want. And know what you can attract to. Because sometimes people want things out of their league. You know, and it's like, hey, man, he or she is like out your league. You're gonna F that relationship up. You're going to mess it up.
And how do you think they can mess that up?
Someone earlier, like what you said about self-sabotaging.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I've been in situations like this when I knew I was too good for a female, but like I'd be in fixture state. You know, I would want to, it was a challenge because maybe I feel like I can mold her into what I want, or I don't know, but it was like, we attracted each other. If she was a project for me, I'll never put myself in situations like this ever again, by the way. But I was something that the female was asking for too, because maybe she just got done dealing with a lot of F-boys, you know. And then she gets someone that's transparent, honest, all this good jazz, been working on themselves, because you know me personally, so you know I've always been working on myself.
Right.
And so these females can F it up. And these are the females that, and guys are like this too. So don't get me wrong. Everything that I'm saying right now, I'm just speaking from a male's perspective. You can reverse this. It can be two guys, it can be two girls, relationships.
Right.
And so when the other person is, they have to be ready for that next level of that person that they're attracting, I feel. They got to make sure they've done the work. They can't just fake it, because it will be exposed throughout that new relationship. Because if the person is actually being that healed version of themselves, and the other person comes half, and you have not dealt with your childhood wounds and certain triggers, and you don't know how to manage them, they're going to blow up in that new relationship.
Yeah.
Eventually.
I mean, I think that's part of healing, is those little grenades that go off inside. You have to pay attention and heal that. It keeps going off for a reason. So if you're like, oh, it's this person or it's that person, or I just have bad luck with men or bad luck with women. No, it continues to show up. So you heal it.
Yes.
But like, that's the point of it.
People don't want to take that accountability though, Amber.
No, I know.
It's never it's never our fault. It's always their fault. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But those are the people that won't grow. But I feel like it's so easy to talk about the negative stuff. It's like we gotta focus on the positive.
I know what I'm saying?
Because we all been hurt. So you know, it's so easy to like talk about the negative sides of the relationships. You know,
but that's the hard part about trust, is because like current day society and with the effects of social media and just everything that people go through in the human journey, I think there's just so many broken people walking around planet Earth.
Yeah.
That if you bump into somebody or you align with somebody, and this was like my initial, I was like, did I attract this person from a healed space or from my shadow self? You know, like you have to stop and think.
Yeah.
You're like,
Yes.
I don't know. That's why I'm not in a hurry to rush, because I need to see if your shadow is matching my shadow. Or are we healed for healed and then occasionally dip into our shadow self? Yeah. You know, like you have to have time to. I think that's where the positive of it. Of everything that I've been through romantically and within myself, that's where I'm at with dating and relationships. I am cool with going slow because I need to see who you are to mirror me.
I love that.
You know, like, is it my shadow self? Because that shadow self is fun.
It is fun.
But it's toxic as fuck.
Yep.
And I can't do another round like that.
Who hurt you? Who hurt you?
No. And then honestly, the other day, speaking of her, I know it's so easy to go back, but this is fresh in mind. The other day, I was looking through my phone, and you know the little blocked section of your phone?
Yeah, yeah.
I happened to look, and I opened it, and it was a past lover who left a fucking voicemail. Yeah. And I deleted it. And I was
didn't listen to it?
No. Well, I did, but...
Okay, I was about to see.
But I deleted it immediately. I was like, nope, no desire. And that's another how you know that you're just doing really good with yourself, is not any part of you is like, oh, let me just make that quick call back. Let me just, nope, zero. It's like, no, it is what it is. Moving on. Bless it. Moving on.
Oh, my you know? God. I love that, Amber. It's like... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I talk to so many women that will have exes and old guys lingering. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, yo, unless y'all were married, it didn't work out for a reason. Mm-hmm. Unless y'all got kids together, I'm like, yo, like, why are you allowing old energy like that to linger around you? You get them?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I
think it's a variety of things. I think on some level, our ego gets attached to wanting attention.
That's what I think. Like,
my ex wants me, you know. I didn't. There was not one part of me that was like, "Ooh, I'm feeling myself right now." No, I was like, "Why did you even make the effort?"
Exactly. Yes.
Like, no, you know. So, but everybody handles it differently.
Oh my God, I love it, because it's better when it's coming from a woman, because like when I talk to some women, and you know, and I know that they're still having their exes around or old guys, flings, mm-hmm. whatever. That's how I think, but I'm a man though, so it's different. But then I love hearing a woman say the same thing, where I'm just like, yo, like, okay, are you keeping this around because of maybe when you get lonely and like, you know, the insecurities start rising up, so this person can flood your attention, like getting likes or something on social media type of dopamine hits, where I'm just like, yo, it's 8 billion people on the planet. Let them go. And mm-hmm. move on.
I mean, honestly, like since I've moved to New York City, I've had a whole revamping. I mean, I'm in New York City. What are you talking about? You think I'm thinking about anybody I had a thing for ever in my adult life? No.
Hey, right? Everybody, what's out here?
Right. I'm like, I am not. And anybody that knows me knows that I have a tendency to look in the past. Nope. There's nothing there. All those doors are closed. There's even greenery covering the door.
Spider webs, everything.
Right. I'm like, there's no key that's going to open that door. No skeleton key, no nothing.
I love that.
But it feels so good, you know? So I think that moving to New York City awakened me to the fact that, like, oh yeah, I'm ready. Like, I love who I am. I know who I am. No, I don't have every single piece of my life figured out, but I have enough to come to the table with some, you know, I can sit down at the table with somebody and feel confident being at that table.
I like that. That's what it's about.
So, but I think that it's also really good for the soul and for the healed heart to meet a good person that is also has worked on themselves or is currently working on themselves. So you can look, you know, compare it like, oh yeah, like I'm good. Like this, I can't believe that's what I wanted. I, looking back, I can't believe that I wasted all those tears and time and energy when there was so much more ahead that I just had to be patient for.
Yeah.
And not even necessarily wrapped up in a person. That could be it as well. But like everything, it's like, oh, thank you. Thank you, universe, for not giving me what I fucking wanted.
I like that. Yeah.
You know, like we sit there and like plead, like, God, this was just, why doesn't this work out? And you cry over it. And it doesn't matter if it's a job, a relationship, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when you reflect back, you're like, man, I'm so glad that didn't work out. So glad.
Man, blessing in disguise.
Yeah, yes. It really is. And then I think if more of us could do that, we'd be a healthier society and healthier with each other on dates.
I agree. Oh, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but because I know we're speaking positive.
No, I mean, we have to do both.
For sure. And I feel like in today's time, when it comes to dating, people have perfected the craft of the interview.
Go on. I want to hear more.
So, you know, like in school, where especially like our generation in one, where they focus so hard about us getting the job, the right resume, this, that, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like people now with their social media, which is a resume, how they present themselves when they're on a date talking to the female or the guy, they know how to captivate them in a way to get the job. But don't nobody know how to keep the job, though.
Right. That's true.
You know, that's just my little weird little logic.
Oh, that's so true.
I'm just like, it's scary though, because you know, somebody's resume or how good they look on paper and how they present themselves, you know, it can be foolery. You know what I mean? You like, oh, you got the job. You know, you give him the cheeks, and then next thing you know, like, oh, he was a waste of a nut.
Dude, I had a guy lick my face. What? It was so fucking weird. I'm like,
shut up. Nah. On a date?
Yes.
He licked your face? These mofos are nasty out here.
I know. I was like, oh my God.
Hold up.
But you spoke so much truth by that explanation of keeping the job, because it's easy, like going on the date.
Yeah.
It's easy having sex.
Yep.
What's not easy is how to do the dance together and figure out, okay, are we gonna work towards this? Are we gonna each put in the effort, or are we gonna half-ass it?
Yeah.
Like, is this a part-time job, a side gig? Like,
yeah, what are we doing here?
Or is this a full-on career that we want to invest in?
Oh, I like that. Huh. We might be on to something, Amber. That's a good analogy.
Yeah. Like, I didn't think about it until you said it like that. I'm like, yeah, the easy part is the having sex, the going on the dates, how many countries, because that's another thing is I noticed on Tinder is that travel is the big, like, golden ticket on there. Uh-huh. You know, like, people want travel buddies, which makes sense. You, like, you know, if you don't always want to travel by yourself, you want to find someone that you have, you know, a good vibe with, and you can travel to different places.
Amber?
But then you, what?
Go ahead. We talked about this last show about travel buddies.
Especially
people you don't know.
That show never made it to air because I was standing in the middle of.
I know. I wish it did. We can bring that. We can bring that little part, that segment, on this episode.
Yes. Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. So I just noticed that people were getting like passive aggressive, and they're okay. I know you've been to so many countries. Blah blah blah. Let's talk about something real. And I'm like, ooh, that felt like a little, I don't know. It was just funny to see people's profiles and the judgments around travel or the showing off, like how you were just talking about, like how many countries they've been to, you know, and using that as like weight at the table, like a career,
right?
You know? So it's interesting how travel's become its own, like elitist, you know what I mean? Of like with relationships. Oh. Does that make sense?
Oh my God. It's so scary to date nowadays. It's scary out here.
Yeah.
It's a whole different jungle.
Yeah. No, it definitely is.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I mean, and especially in New York City, it can be intense, you know, because there's so many people. And people are out here with that hunger,
yeah.
You know, so it's savages. Like they're on the So it's like you got to protect your energy.
Yeah,
you got to protect your body parts. Yep. You know, like savages.
Yeah,
like even yesterday, my friends and I went out for brunch, and there was an older gentleman who was sitting next to me, and my purse dropped, so I just bent down to get it. If I was
he was all up in your cheeks. You nasty old man.
And he just was like, went in for the swoop. I was like, damn, all I did was, he's like, you shouldn't be doing that. I could have done, and I was like, oh, here we go.
Here we go.
You know, and then
he was, look, trying to be a gentleman, but we know what you're doing.
And I was just trying to like get back in my seat, and he was already rolling out their credentials, and then, you know, I'm trying to be nice because, you know, I again working on my feminine side, I'm not trying to like immediately cut him off and be like cold about it, so I'm just like listening, being polite, and my friends are behind me, and I'm trying to, they're laughing because they see this guy working really hard, like pulling out all the credentials. And my friend shouts from behind me, you better lay low. And I thought I was gonna just like lose face, like right there. Like I was fighting back the laughter because I knew what he was doing.
This ain't the man that licked your face, is it?
No, no.
I feel like he would look more than your face, this guy. He was on it.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, guys are like, and I'm sure guys are probably feeling this too with women, but it's just, it's funny how like aggressive.
Yeah.
Like, going in for the swoop. Like, all I did was just get my purse. Like, let me come up for air. Like, and then he was like, oh, you don't want to do that because then all the blood's rushing to your head. And I was like,
oh my God.
I was like, okay, relax.
Oh my God. Okay, I have to ask you because you're a different type of woman. So definitely a modern day woman.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel? Like, it's like, because you already said, like, here we go again, because you know the game. You know the game. You know?
Yeah.
So like,
yeah.
How does that make you feel though? Like when you have to go through that process?
You know, if he was somebody that I was interested in,
what? Nothing, go ahead.
If he was somebody that I would have wanted the conversation to continue, then I would have entertained his male act, you know, that he was trying
I like that. Male, you know what that made me think about? Monkeys in a zoo. She said his male act as he
me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're in the animal kingdom, man. We're all out here trying to survive. But because he was not somebody that I would have wanted to continue to entertain, we were walking to the next place, and my friend said, "You got really quiet. Are you okay, Amber?" He's like, "Did he steal all your energy back there?" And I was like, "You know what? I think he did." And I had to like recharge outside, because that, we don't talk about that. We just talk about the like annoyance of it, or, you know, of the, you know, rejecting it and being like, "Oh, no, thank you." But it's the energy too. It's like you don't realize that that's like energetically draining, trying to like get out of it.
Yeah.
But also, okay, I'm listening, you know, but like, I don't really want to.
Oh my gosh.
Because then I got to focus and like act like I'm listening.
Okay. Let me ask, because now you're trying to tap more back into your feminine side, but do you think you're wrong? Because I feel like the older Amber, the savage part, she didn't want to deal with that shit. She would have shortened it real quick.
Yeah.
All right. So, like, do you think that that's wrong though? Especially if you're going to protect your energy. You know, you're not into this guy, and you already see his what did you call it earlier? His act. His act. You see his act. That he's.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
You know, I don't know what his end goal was. I don't even think he had one, because I think he'd been there drinking all day. So.
Man, you know what his end goal was.
Yeah, like, I don't know if he thought. But I think because he had his energy, like, you know, when you can feel, like, pick up on someone's energy. Yeah. His energy didn't feel weird to me. It didn't feel obnoxious. It wasn't like, ooh, creepy. Like, he had a nice energy. So I was like, okay, this guy is harmless. Like, yeah. Whatever, like, he's not gonna try to force his number on me, or like, you know. So that's why I was just like, okay. But if I felt a bad energy, trust me, I would have been like, listen, leave me alone. Like, I have no cares. I would have directly said, I'm not interested in speaking with you.
What a hurt, I really man hurt.
I really would have. I have no problem with that. Don't talk to me. You're actually taking up too much space next to me. I would have gone down that route, but he was nice. So,
all right, okay.
It was short, but in that short time, man, he was
trying,
rolling it out.
Oh my god.
So yeah, I don't even know what we were talking about prior to that, but I just had to share that yesterday.
That was a good story. That was good.
Yeah, but that's the thing that I do like about New York, but also find it at moments like annoying. I don't know. It's a city where there's a lot of people here. So
yeah.
There's a lot of variety that people like, because there's just a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
So you never know when you walk into a place what it's going to be like, who's going to be in there, you know, and like what can happen from that space.
Yes.
So what I do like about New York City and the dating scene here is it can be wild, you know, and I've heard stories from, you know, other sexual experiences, you know, in other communities. So it's like, I hear it all. Like, it's interesting.
I love it. We about to take this a little shift with this conversation, Amber, but we still stand on topic.
Yo, yes.
Because we both lived in the same city for a period of time. So I lived in Chicago and some other bigger cities. And then now, you know, you lived in Detroit and a few other bigger cities. Now you're in the Big Apple.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your biggest intake of like Midwest dating compared to like big city dating? Because it's completely different.
It's so different. I mean, I think you can get pieces of it in New York, like people that want to buy a home and they want to have kids and they want to have a dog and they don't know if they want to stay in, you know, they don't know if they want to stay in the city. So we got to think long term. What are we going to do? But if you love New York City and you are planning on working hard to maintain living in New York City, it's a whole different experience than like anything I ever did in the Midwest. Midwest was more ho-hum. Mm-hmm. It was more like I felt like moments up and down of feeling inferior because I didn't want that life that most women in the Midwest are striving for.
Yes.
Like the home, the husband, yes. the that comfortable life on that level.
Yes.
Where it's like, and then trying to find commonality with people, knowing that you were striving for something that you couldn't necessarily put your fingertips on, but like you knew it was different than this.
Yes.
Or being in the place like we both lived together in Indiana in the same city, and then trying to have a single life when you wanted to be single. That's different.
Yes. Different. Yes. Really different.
Like, oh, I struggle with my single life in Fort Wayne. I mean, I made it work and I had fun. I made it work. I did all right. But it's not like New York City.
Yeah.
You know, like you can go anywhere in this city, anywhere from Manhattan area to Brooklyn, and you could go by yourself. You could spend the whole entire day by yourself and no one would look at you twice because so many other people are out here traveling on the subway by themselves, going out to eat, going to clubs, going to bars, going to movies, going to Broadway shows. Like, people are, you know, it's just, it's different.
Yeah, because Indiana gave me anxiety. People look at us like we did not belong there.
Yeah, or your sense of fashion. Like, or going out and you were in heels and a dress, or you were in like a nice outfit, you know, dressed as a man. You know, you were like, okay, I'm way overdressed, but I feel good about myself.
Amber,
this is my style.
Let me tell you, I'm so glad you said that, because I was like, yo, what is going on? Like, I'm going through my own different shift right now where I realized when I was in Fort Wayne, probably the last 5-6 years, Amber, I start bumming it. Because I'm like, yo, I can pull the baddest thing in this city in sweatpants. Like, well, I'm getting dressed up, folks. I got rid of my soup, all that, right? So now I'm in Florida, and I'm just like, yo, I think I got to step my game back up on my fashion sense, you know? Because, like, this is I'm back into an environment where I fit in. But I got too comfortable up north because I stuck out so much. And now I'm in the area where I blend in some. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Where we can be more eclectic and creative with our fashion in these in these bigger cities.
It's true. Like, I mean, I was always in yoga pants. Half hoodies and sneakers. And, you know, I would occasionally dress up, but... You know, outside of what I would wear professionally to work if I had a 9-to-5 job at that time. Mm. And like, even in Burlington, I was kind of bumming it too.
Yeah.
Because Burlington was not a high fashion city. It was a mountain town. Mm. You know, like people were in Patagonia and, you know, all these like snowboarding brands. Like, no one's out there like pushing the fashion sense.
And no
like,
red pumps. And
it was rare
bottoms.
Like it was rare. So now that I'm in New York, it is funny. I was just having this conversation too recently. I'm trying to figure out what's my style, because there's also a layer of comfort. You're walking all over the city. I'm not wearing heels, not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's ways to have the happy medium. And then what is my fashion sense? So it's kind of timely how you and I are, because that's another thing I was thinking about too lately, is you don't have to be in a relationship or single, but just in general, like, even I've seen it a little bit in New York City too, people just like give up like on the fashion sense of like wanting to feel good or like look good, you know, and not to say look at me or to compete with any, but just like that pride in how you look.
Definitely.
But I don't think that that's a level of priority for everybody. But like for me and for you, because we're very similar, like fashion is a high priority.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
It doesn't have to be the big labels and the most expensive. Yes. But like, I'm going to put together an outfit that I'm like, ooh.
Yes, yes.
You know, like, I did that.
I did that. I love it.
I noticed that, like, you know, because I do. I like to pay attention to see what people choose to wear around the city from every borough and every, you know, when you get on the train, off the train.
Yeah.
And everybody's got their own sense of style, but most of the time I do see people in sneakers. Like, it's a heavy sneaker city because you do a lot of walking. It's
a lot of walking, I bet.
I did 10,000 steps the other day in one day.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, like, it's a lot of walking. But yeah, I think fashion, if it's a priority to you, helps you feel even more good about yourself because your exterior matches your interior.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. And so then you like want to feel good. You want to invest in yourself. Doesn't have to always be those big labels unless you choose to. Definitely. But like, you can still look fashionable on a budget.
Easy. 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 But I call some people mannequin people. They buy what's on the mannequin.
Yeah.
I don't respect those fashionable people.
The one thing is I do have to go into more like resale shops and like small places like that in the different boroughs. Yeah, I love that.
Okay.
Like vintage stores and things like that. So that's on my to-do list too as fall starts to unfold.
I gotta ask you these questions.
Okay.
The biggest difference. Well, I know you're just getting your feet wet in New York, but you're still getting a taste of it from being single and dating in Fort Wayne and being in the Big Apple and dating. Like, what's some of the biggest difference you've seen so far with people?
The high-driven men. And not that there weren't high-driven men like in the Midwest, because of course there are, but it's different. Like it's a different kind of hustle because it's New York City. Like everything's so outrageously expensive. But if you budget properly, you can make it work, and then obviously work hard and you know, but it's a different kind of striving for yourself because in the Midwest you can, for the most part, find, even though obviously things are expensive everywhere, but like you can find decent prices for homes and apartments.
Yeah,
and
you
stuff
can ball better in the Midwest.
Yeah. Like, cost of living is different in the Midwest, know? Whereas, like, it's just nice to meet guys with different ambitions and like, and like men and women. Come here. This is like an energetic portal, New York City. So people come here from all over the world. So everybody's got unique backgrounds and like how they landed in New York and what their why is and what their goals are. So it's a different level of I guess going back to like when we've talked about high value men and women, like it's different.
I like that. So what's your all take on some of the women you've come across compared to like the Midwest women?
I think, you know, I've been so immersed into my job. Like that takes a lot out of me during the week. But I think it's just, I don't know. Everybody's kind of go, go, go. Like,
yeah, I believe that.
I was in a Target a couple weeks ago, and I was in the $5 bin area.
Yeah.
And this really awesome woman came up to me, and she pointed something out. And then we just started, like, an instant conversation. And I was like, wow, that's so crazy, because I was just saying how am I now in this big city going to make female friends? And she was starting to talk about that. And then come to find out she's from the Chicago area. I said, oh, that's why we're sitting here talking, because we're both from the Midwest. You know, so we talked about how different it is as far as, like, personalities and stuff from the Midwest to here. So I think it depends on what you want. Like, I'm not really on like the Upper East Side, which is the more bougie area. Like, I'm not really hanging out there. So I know that that's a whole different kind of women that and what their goals are. But I do like what do you
like? No comment about those women.
You know, like, but there's nothing wrong with it. That's just not my energetic wave of what I'm like focusing on.
Yeah.
But like, I will say there's been cool interactions, like just randomly bumping into women and being like, oh, hey, oh, I like your outfit. Oh, like yesterday, this woman was in all pink and she looked really good. I'm like, I love the all pink, because you know Barbie's still making its thing. Like, women are still wearing the pinks and the, you know, trying to get their Barbie on. But she looked really good, and I'm like, see, I like complimenting women. I've noticed that too. Like, I'm much more vocal because I feel the energy is gonna be like receptive. To be like, oh, you look really good, you know, and then you see like the face light up, and you know, it's like, oh, thanks, because you know you put effort and time to design this outfit and put it on, you know, so it's like there's a lot more of that. I'm like, oh, I like that. I like your shoes. I like your look. I like this, because that's just the energy of where, you know, I'm living. People care about, for the most part, looking somewhat decent when you're out and about. Except for the other day, there was massive flooding in New York, so it was crazy. Wow. Yeah, it was crazy, but it felt so good. I was so happy squishing in my shoes along the streets.
Get you some rain boots.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I need to get some rain boots, but I'm still happy. I'm still happy.
Oh, man. So you still on your journey of looking for love, or are you just, you're dating? What?
You know, I did actually meet somebody who's pretty amazing. Like, I think, yeah, pretty amazing.
Easy, Pachi, you in a honeymoon phase.
Right? In the fluffy stage.
Uh-huh. We know how that go. Everybody bring their A game, boy. We know how that go.
Well, you know, he did say, just be yourself when you're around me. Just be you. I'm like, okay.
Hey, right. Be careful what you ask for, homeboy.
No, I already told him. We were having like really good, deep conversations. And I said, we were talking about like past behaviors and like past relationships and stuff. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, he said be yourself. So I'm like, well, yes. I'm just going to just be honest.
Because you will go there.
You know me. When someone says, when someone gives me the green light to be direct, I'm going to go. I said, yeah, well, you know, I've done a lot of work on myself. Like, I've been single for a long time. Like, I have no problem with that, because, you know, going to all that. I said, but I would say that, like, some of the negative qualities of myself with men is I used to lash out.
Savage.
I know.
You're the man, like, eater.
Right. I was like, you know, I just used to, like, you know, just fight with guys. But, you know, I was always matched with reasons why. Because, like, you know, or, like, hold on to things mentally. It's, like, just really revealing, like, my not so great qualities. But I thought, if I reveal that to him, and he's still here.
Oh, man.
That's a good sign. And so he's like, well, I'm just letting you know I'm making mental notes. And I was like, go ahead. Because I said, I've worked on that. I don't do that anymore.
Oh, my God. I love it. Was he receptive?
No, he was. He was.
All right. Dope.
He still talks to me. So I take that as, yeah. But I just like to be honest. There isn't anything that I need to withhold. And that's just that personal freedom and the self-love that I've worked so hard. It's like, if a man doesn't like me for who I am, then you don't need to be around me.
Man, say it again.
You know, like, if my natural qualities, my natural state of being disturbs you in any way or turns you off in any way, then this is going to be short-lived anyways.
Depends on how good the sex is.
Yeah, well, you know. There is always that. But that
No, you're right.
Yeah, because I know from past experiences, yeah, the sex could be phenomenal. But if you're a toxic person, or we're arguing, or you have problems with vulnerability, or you don't want to communicate, or whatever those shadow qualities are, then this is really going to be a toxic relationship or short-lived.
Yeah.
And I now know the difference of what I'm willing to invest in.
I love that. Because that communication, you know, is like, you got to have it. You got to be vulnerable with the information too, that communication.
Yeah. Like, I mean, when something's on my mind, I just speak it. Like I said, you know, it feels like our communication is different. in text versus when we're in person. And he was like real receptive to that. He's like, yeah, of course, because it's on a different level when you're in person. But he met me halfway with the like, yeah, like, oh, I said, okay, good. So I'm not the only one that feels this way. Because sometimes I'm like, is it just me? Like, am I too much in my head? Or is this actually... So it was nice to have that conversation because, again, when you're confident with who you are, you're like, listen, I have to be able to express myself. I have to be able to be me.
The good
end. But I don't have to share every single detail with you of everything that runs through my head.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if anybody want to play in that movie.
Right. Right. Man. So I will edit the info.
Yes.
But yeah. I still got to be me. So.
Yeah. Man, I love that. I think a lot of people lack that. And I think those are some good first date conversations. You know, let's just get to the nitty gritty. You know, this is who I am, peel back the mask, and who are you? But everybody wants to show that fake best representative. You know what I'm saying? I'm like,
yeah.
Let me hear your dark side. Let me hear that shadow side. Like, mm-hmm. Let me hear it. You know, who are you? Because if we date long enough, I'm going to see it. You know?
Well, you know, the crazy thing is we both had said this. So the first week that we had met, we hung out 6 days that week. I've never done that with any guy that I've ever been involved with. And he even said, he's like, I don't do this either. Dang. He's like, this is not normal for me. But it was like just that chemistry and that connection and that the communication, the conversation.
Man, but I'm rooting for you because you've been at this for a while.
Oh my god, tell me about it.
Hey, no, I'm for real. I'm like, dude, don't you F this up. Because she's been doing her work too, so I'll vouch for you.
Oh, thank you. So, but you know, talk about first date. I think, you know what, if you're listening right now, obviously you are, if you're still here with us. This is a perfect first date question to ask. Oh. He said when we moved to the second place on the first night that we met, and it was much more quiet so we could like have better conversation. He said, is there anybody that thinks they are in a relationship with you or dating you? And I was good.
Ooh, that is a great question.
Isn't it?
My man don't want no drama.
I thought that was a really good question. I think a lot of people should write that down. You know, like that's a valid, I think you need to ask that question on the first date.
Yes.
Not because that. Then you know, okay, they're tied up with somebody. This is just sex or this is whatever, you know, like there's might be some drama with this person or, you know, and of course you can choose to lie, but you know, me being in it, and because I'm not, I was like, no, but that's a good question. That's
a great question.
That's a good question.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh. I would love to hear the different dynamics between men and women answering this question.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Right. And who would be more willing to lie?
Yes.
And say no. And then
I think women will.
I was going to actually say, I think women.
Yep, they're gonna lie about it, you know.
Yeah.
Right. But it is what it is.
I know. And I love your women, though. I don't like to say it, but I did. That was the first. I was like, I bet it would be women.
Yeah. Amber, that's one thing I love about you. You know, it's like you just keep it real. You know, you call it like you see it. It's like it is what it is, man.
Yeah. Oh
geez. Yeah. It's like we know you got Tyrone, Jeff, and Bob. Deep down, and as soon as you need them, they coming up top, you know. Come on now.
Right.
Get rid of it. Because normally guys, when we have our women, we're actually still active with them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and, you don't have them in holding.
Like. Yeah, they're not in holding. It's like, we catch and release. Like when depending on the guy. Because obviously these girls have the guys that, they're withholding. I don't understand those guys, but it is what it is. I'm like, I feel like any guy that is decent at dating, you know, he can let those chicks go and find some new ones. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny. I was thinking about the conversations that we had, because we've been doing the collaboration on these episodes since about August, I believe. May, because it was our birthdays. And I think that's when we did the first. So I think about who I was from May till now, completely fucking different.
No, you evolved, completely girl. Different. Hey, you made a drastic shift. I'm proud of you. I ain't even gonna lie to you. Thank you. Man, yo, your growth is real, man, because you was going through it.
Oh my God. Like, it was looking at, so I had mentioned to him recently that I was in flight attendant training for a week. And when he asked when, and he's like, oh, like recent. I'm like, you don't even understand the amount of change I've had since 2020. I don't even know where to even start. But 2022, like, that was one of the worst years for me.
Dang.
2022 was one of the worst years.
Is that when you were in Indy?
Yeah.
I remember. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And then it spiraled after that. Yeah. But it moved me out of state and in the direction that I was supposed to be in, which brought me to New York. Yeah. But at the time, I'm like, oh, I can't take no more. Like, this is crazy. This is crazy. Like, this is crazier than when I lived in Detroit. Like, and all that I went through at that chapter. Like, it personally, though, personally, in my personal life, I was like, I can't take no more. I can't take no more. This is bullshit. You know, like, and so now where I'm at, I feel so grateful that I had all that, because yes, I'm on the other side of it. And then spending time with somebody who's also healthy is like, wow.
Wow, I love that.
You know, like, wow.
Oh, remember when I talked about earlier about girls as, or guys, people that are not ready for that next version of what they think that they need?
Yeah.
So that old Amber, do you think you would fumble this bag?
Totally.
All right, cool.
Totally.
You weren't ready. You wasn't ready for him, right?
You know what bag I was fumbling at.
We ain't gonna talk about it. We glad that bag is gone. Yeah, flush that down the toilet.
Yeah, no, I would have not appreciated what would be in front of me.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. But I will say too, like, I can understand how former versions, if you're not ready, you're not ready, because what fumbling feels like to me is like that fear of like, oh wow, when you really like somebody and you know both sides are healthy, that's also a kind of scary place to be. And you start feeling like your chest burn and you're like starting to, you're like, ooh, I could really potentially, if it goes bad, I could get hurt. Like, I understand why love and getting serious with somebody, even though it can be really good, can also be kind of nerve-wracking a little bit, because you're like, oh, I'm doing this from a healed space. So what does that look like?
Because I don't want to break again, right?
And have to, yeah. Like, you spend so much time, and not even just specifically with men. Like, I've spent so much time piecing myself back together from childhood that it's like, okay, I have everything in place. All it could take is one time and it'd be shattered.
Hey, for real.
You're like, damn, I don't want to go through that. So then it's like you start running from your feelings. You're like running. So you don't sit there and feel it. But it's worth it though too. You gotta roll the dice.
Yeah. You know? What was that song? Love Hurts.
Which one? There's like so many.
I know, right? I remember it was like I think it was a white dude that sang it.
That
one? Yeah. That's all. I can't sing, so I ain't even gonna try. But but like, that's it though. Like, love hurts. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes,
it can be feel good in a moment, but on the other side of love, it's that fire where like now you like you broken, and you know you might despise your lover, you know, or you know, all those other feelings on the dark side. Because you allowed yourself to be vulnerable for someone and open up your heart to them.
Right.
But I don't know, man. I think my biggest challenge through all my issues, which it's not easy, but I try to make sure I can continue to love. Mm-hmm. But it's always different, and it takes longer and longer and longer to open up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To really create that trust. And a lot of it is exactly like what you said. You know, it's pretty dope. You as a female that do that, where you're vulnerable up front with your communication of who you are. You get what I'm saying? Because a lot of times I feel like I deal with other women that they're still going through their process and they don't communicate as well as they should where they're at in their life. You know, right. From the childhood trauma to, you know, just knowing where they're at in their life, you know, where now somebody like me that I'm going to try to dig and try to figure out shit too and get to know that individual, but I only can know as much as they allow me to know about them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So now it's almost like it's a waiting game. I don't know. It's that can be frustrating as hell. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's the thing too about approaching dating from a more emotionally mature and healed space is you're like, okay, so how do I do this? And I know that sounds weird and like, duh, but like, how do I do this? Like, there's no codependency going on.
Right.
You know, we're not doing that.
Right.
We're not doing the like obsessive over the person or the fighting or the. So then what does healthy dating look like when you want to continue with a person? You're like, okay, like the messaging, the, you know, how often do you see, like just getting into a slow, like comfortable, but yet consistent place with somebody. What does that look like?
Let me ask you a question from your heel version right now.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to ask two questions, actually. Your broken version, what do you feel like you needed from your partner? And then from your heel version, what do you feel like you need from your partner?
I think she
cleared the throat.
Yeah, I was like, hold on. I think from the broken space, I needed to feel that they weren't going to abandon me or reject me. So if I didn't hear from them, I think that's when I would be like, what are you doing? You know, like, let's hang out. Or, you know, I think it was that codependency. Okay. Because it was looking for love in the wrong places or wanting to feel needed and loved. It kind of goes back to like the quote that I read at the beginning, be the love you never received. If you don't know what love feels like and you weren't given real nurturing love, you're going to attach yourself to people looking for that love.
Ooh.
Without knowing, is this love?
Right.
Like I even said to somebody recently, I don't think I've ever really understood how to recognize romantic love. Because I don't think I've had it. I think I've thought I've had it. But I mean, like, I know I love my friends and my non-traditional family and, you know, jobs and cities, but like, I don't know what romantic love feels like, but I think it's because I hadn't had it yet.
I got you.
You know, I think it was codependency. I think it was lust. I think it was attachment issues and trauma bonding and all of those ugly words in society, but it was never... And like high school relationship was like puppy love, like, oh, okay, you know, I'm in a relationship and this is, but actual adult, real romantic love, I honestly think I haven't had it yet.
Okay, let's speak on the hill version. What do you think that looks like for you? Or what would you like it to look like?
Support, fun, like adventurous, good communication, nurturing, being able to talk about anything and not judging the other person for their authenticity or revelations.
I like that. Damn. Aw. Hugs.
I don't get the aw. Consistent good sex. Like, come on, let's be real.
I was like, I like how that was like number six.
No. Well, you said the healed space.
I know.
I am a huge advocate that you have to, I believe you have to have sex with that person somewhere in the introductory stage. Mm. Because for me personally, if the sex chemistry is like, then I mean, I'm gonna lose my attention. Like, that has to be that for me. Like, we have to connect on a sexual level. But I don't need it to be number one. But like, it's got to be in like the top five.
I like that. I like that. Top four. Yeah. Because I feel like you're a lot like me, where like you're a sapo sapien. So like, you need that intellectual stimulation too.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel like sex is like number three, to be honest with you, on that chart.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Yeah. So I think that's. And not just not obsessing. Like, I've spent, and you know, I think I've mentioned this in other episodes we've done, but I don't necessarily think guys that I've been involved with in the past ever knew that I was obsessively thinking about them like I was. But I was. Maybe sometimes it would come out in a text, but like, I let it take up too much of my mental space that I think distracted my personal and career goals a little bit too.
Yes. Oh my.
Because I was so obsessive about it in my head.
Wow. I'm so proud of you for growing up. Man. You know, oh my God. Because, you know, as a man, I would tell it, especially a young man, like, don't obsess over women, bro. Because they become a distraction. Just how, like what you said, you felt that thinking about them so much, obsessing over them, that it really deterred you from your career and your goals of how successful you probably could have been, even bigger than what you are now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And just like, you got to put you first, man.
Yeah.
You know, everything else will just fall in line, I feel. You got to love you first. I truly feel in healthy relationships, when you are truly in that healed space, and I'm getting to a space here as well where I don't need nothing from the outside energy other than just communication, to be honest with you, because like, how do I say this? Because I can give myself everything else, you know, and I always think like when you're by yourself and you've been alone for a significant amount of time, you don't have those things anyways. You figure out how to give yourself the love that you need, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if someone comes into your ecosystem, it should just add value, you know? So it doesn't matter really what they give you, long as it's adding value to what you already have. You know what I'm saying? So, because if I feel like I need something from you, that means I'm lacking it.
Right.
I'm lacking it, you know? And that means that I need to figure out how to fill up that cup in my own universe so that I don't have to depend on anything outside of me to give it to me.
Right.
You know, because I feel like that's how heart breaks, and kind of like how you felt clingy with your people in the past, for whatever reasons that you're obsessing over these men, it puts you in a certain state, which was a distraction. So now that you're in a heal state where you like, no, that's not healthy. You know, yes, I want to know if they're thinking about me, this, that, et cetera, but is that healthy though? Like, do I really need that reassurance that, you know, hey, Amber, you know, I miss you too. Da 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 da. 3 hours later, another text, for lunch. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you really need all that? That is toxic to me.
Right.
But that's just my thoughts.
Yeah. And I think that you figure it out when you know what your needs are. Like, sometimes you just, like, on a specific day, you just might be thinking about that person more than usual, so you may reach out more than usual. But then the next 2 days, it's like maybe no texts or no calls, and you're like, I'm just busy, focused on work and whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just the ebb and flow. I think you just figure out what works for the both of you.
I agree with that. And you know, I think every relationship will be different, and it's almost like two businesses coming together to see how they can coexist this. And not every business is created equal, so you know, it's a give and take, because it's like someone like you that's ambitious, I'm ambitious. So like, we would have to be wise about who we partner up with. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And the opposite for someone that maybe is not ambitious or wants a slower paced life or whatever that looks like for them, they need to make sure that they find somebody that understands their reality, because otherwise there will be a lot of confusion and arguments and
I definitely think that you need to, and I'm not saying like the first couple weeks, because that you're still figuring it out, like, do I want to continue hanging out with this person, you know, but eventually you're gonna have to talk about life goals,
yes,
like marriage, or how long you're gonna stay in this city, what are your long-term goals, like stuff like that. You know, I think you do need to eventually talk about, like, what kind of relationship style, what do you need sexually, what do you need emotionally, like all of those things eventually have to become part of the conversation.
Oh my god, I feel like this shit, man, you need to create a dating workbook, because like, no, serious, man, like I'm not in a dating game like that, you know, but I remember it. And dating sucks. It's almost like it's so watered down now, where if a dude is smart, he can go straight to third base. You ain't never got to do all that. You know what I'm talking about? You know? But if you're looking for the healthy love in those type of relationships, you need to ask those right questions. But to know the right questions, you got to have the right information, and you got to have done the work on yourself and know what you want and what you need, you know?
Listen, I'll tell you what I've noticed too. Like, there was a couple guys that I was communicating with, but even the guy that I've been hanging out with lately, talking about therapy, like up front, like in therapy, I make time for it every week. Like, that shit's hot.
Hey, Amber, you just told your age.
I don't care.
I love it.
I'm like, listen. She's like,
you're in therapy? Oh, I'm wet.
It's just, it's taking accountability. It's wanting to dive inward. And that shit's so sick.
That's the new sex.
Conscious man, you know, like, oh, what are you talking about? Like, yeah, sure. You can lay down with somebody sexy, have sex, and then never talk to him again. But like, that's not fulfilling for me, maybe for like other women or men. But when you have somebody talking about like their commitment to therapy, to wanting to grow and better themselves and learn about themselves on a deeper level, that shit's hot.
Oh my god, this is part of your new shift. This is juicy.
Seriously, hey, this is good. Like, wait, you're in therapy?
Wow.
Shit.
Oh my god, you're actually.
Like, I remember when I would bring up therapy to men and they'd flip out on me.
Are you serious?
So yeah, that's how you know where you're at in your dating. It's like, oh, we're talking about therapy.
Yo, that's some high level dating right there.
I know.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, we'll see what happens, but no matter what, I think you know, Jay Shetty, I really love his content online, but he talks a lot about love, specifically just the word love and the many meanings around it. And he flat out says in his content, it doesn't always have to be the romantic love,
right?
That's just the overindulged the fairy tale, the most energy goes to romantic love, not, you know, the love you have for your friends, the love you have for life, the love you have for your community or whatever. It's always usually focused around romantic love. And I love that he always breaks it down. But I think no matter what, you just got to learn what healthy love is. And it starts with self-love. It really does. Dang. Especially if you had a rough upbringing, or maybe you had some challenging chapters in your adult life that broke you apart, life hits you, like, you know, COVID, like all of it. Like, we just have to figure out how to have that fulfilling love within ourselves. And then I think we'll all have better relationships.
I agree 100%. And get therapists.
And talk about it on your first date.
Yeah, talk about it. Oh my god. Make sure you send me his content, please.
Who, Jay Shetty?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I will. So I want to thank you for joining me on this episode. This was exactly what I wanted So thank you for meeting me halfway, as always, with some good stuff and good questions.
My pleasure. Yes.
And and one last time, where can they find your podcast and the name of it?
I'm at The Shift. I'm on Spotify and Apple Music, and also now I'm on YouTube. And you can find me soon on IG and TikTok. And Amber will be my first guest. I'm going to let you know when we're going to do that. You know what I mean? I got to let you to be my first guest, you know, because people are knocking at my door like, when can I get on Zoom? I'm like, nah, I got to be respectful to those who open the door for me. For the podcast path, you know?
Thank you. I'm honored. I can't wait. It's going to be a good first episode. Definitely. And so that means you're going back to social media.
Yeah, soon.
Yeah. You know, that's been on my mind lately, but I'm like, scared. No, I'm not ready.
I know. Oh my God. Before we leave, yo, I was just in Miami, right? And I was chilling and it was raining. So everybody was in the little cabanas and we're not. Man, because I wasn't drinking or anything. So I'm just watching, people watching. Mm-hmm. Just observing, you know, all the girls and the guys on their phone, five inches away, you know, and just like, how do I say this? It's almost like the phone is like sucking these souls, man.
I know.
It's
so
crazy. I was just here. Like, these people are zombies, man. I was just like, crazy. Yeah. It's so yeah,
the,
I
don't want to be that person. Selfies, the being out, like yes. Fluffing the hair, like yes. Get a face in the screen. Like yes. I was at a museum on a Saturday a couple weekends ago. It was this really cool, it was the Guggenheim Museum. And my first time ever being in this museum, I would say 80% of the population in the building were all on their phones. Not even reading the words on the exhibits, but posing in front of it and then walking away. And I'm like, oh my God, it's crazy.
Yes, it's crazy. This is why I hate social media, but I understand why we need to use it in the business sense as a tool.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you can't believe anything that you see on social media. You know what I'm saying? Just as you said, like, the person took a picture of maybe this beautiful statue and just walked off so they can create a post just to say, look at me.
Exactly.
They didn't even take it in, you know?
Yeah, like I'm literally reading the words on the wall and this girl's looking at me like I could tell she was feeling like a little weird, but she didn't care because then she just posed and then she walked off. Like, so here I was like reading the actual words of the artist and their story, and she's like feeling kind of like ooh sometimes, but then she still posed and she was like, no, I need this for my IG.
Oh my God. Look, she should have took a picture of you like look at this look at this historical being,
right?
Reading.
my god. So no, but it'll be good for you though, because then you can get back out there and do your business side of things. But I'm not ready yet. No, I'm not okay. Ready yet. I'm yeah, I'll go in my own time.
I actually never spoke that because I keep telling myself end of December, January, but it's just like seeing that yesterday, it just really just kind of put a sour taste in my mouth.
I know.
You know, and I was like, yo, I don't miss that. I don't miss it, you know?
I love
creating content.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be like that. You would, I think, have boundaries with it.
Definitely.
I mean, you got to think about what you were like, you know, they were out in Miami, like, oh, that's Instagram worthy all day. Like, okay. You know, like being in Miami, like, of course you want to capture it and share it on social media. So,
right.
But well, thank you so much for yet another soul filling episode. And I look forward to being your first guest. And until next time.
Let's do it. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. I want to thank my friend Zoe for yet again showing up to the table with good perspectives and good content. Hopefully you took away some gems for your own romantic relationships and just relationships in general. You know, if you're not in a good space with yourself or within your relationship, the only constant thing in life is change. There's always room to grow. Don't forget to catch Zoe's new podcast called The Shift, High Level Conversations on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And until next time, be kind to yourself and be kind to others.